Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everybody!
Hey everyone!
My name is David Bell.
I am Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Shazam.
Shazam! Shazam.
Shazam.
Mazaz.
Wait, what?
David Batts, I choose you as a champion. Say my name so my powers will become yours. Shazam.
Wait, for real?
Shazam backwards.
Oh.
I think. Okay.
All right. Jeez.
Yeah.
Tom, what did you think of Shazam?
I liked it.
Okay. So did I.
All right.
All right. End of episode. No.
Yeah, end of episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.
Yeah. No, I am... I have some notes. I would sum it up as follows. Mm-hmm. It is a great film trapped in a terrible studio. And so most of my gripes with it felt like they were studio notes that butt into the movie or like in post-production. Like a lot of the things that I have issues with could be fixed in post.
Generally, I
liked it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm curious because I thought... This movie, like, I wanted to like this movie, and I had good expectations for it, and it was better than I was expecting.
Right. My expectations were simple. Because as I tweeted about, I walked into the theater, and there was, like, a horde of, like, 10-year-old, 11-year-old boys.
Skipping
mostly boys.
School!
Yeah, and just having a great time, and I thought, like, well, this is for them. This movie just needs to be fun, and it just needs to entertain them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun for the most part, but it was frustrating at times. And I think even those boys got like a little bored by the end. Because the main note I have is like the action was boring. Like everything with the montages, him being like a superhero on the street was fucking fantastic. I watched 2 hours of that. Once we got to there was like two third acts. Like, the bad guy kidnaps the family twice. And, like, they have two standoffs. Like, the movie's over 2 hours long. And the action sequence, the final fight, is, like, cut away from. Like, there's two big battles going on, one-on-one between. Mm-hmm. And then the family, spoilers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Shazamly. Yeah.
The Shazamly. There you go. Shazamly
and they
matters.
Like they sort of yada yada over it because they knew that it didn't matter. So like when the final action was happening, it was pretty boring. The action, it was a lot of like skipping around and being like, yeah, look, they're still fighting. Oh, look, they're still fighting, but they weren't following one fight.
No, I get what you're saying. That I kind of feel like that wasn't the point,
right? And so like, I kind of didn't need it. Like, I feel like they could have cut down like a good 20 minutes.
The movie could have been a little shorter. I'll agree that the final confrontation goes on for a little too long.
Right.
But I didn't think that the action felt secondary to me. And I think that was very intentional.
Right.
It's very standard superhero stuff. But like I was never... The reason it cuts back and forth is it cuts back and forth so you can see more fun character beats.
Right, but I didn't even think there was that much character beats in that sequence. I don't know. It felt like it dragged a little bit. The other thing is that there were little moments, specifically in music, that was like, all right, studios, Shaun of the Dead used Don't Stop Me Now by Queen, and it was great. And every movie since has been throwing that in. And that's one of those ones where it's like it feels like a studio note where they're like, oh, do that Queen song in there. Also, and this is both.
Well, I mean, it's, I think it's because of the part where it says make a supersonic man out of you or whatever.
Right. And I mean, it's relevant enough, but I feel like that song can apply to a lot of montages, which is why they probably stick it in. But there were little things like that, specifically the ending credits, which was just
Spider-Man Homecoming. Yep.
Like, it's a Ramones song, says a drawing. That was like, that felt like a bad studio note, where they're like, no, yeah, we want to do it like Spider-Man. We're making Spider-Man Homecoming. And that's what I mean, is that most of the movie is great. I really enjoyed a lot of the movie. But there were these moments that I was like, DC, stop. Like,
that was the only, that was legit the only part of the movie. And it's the end credits. The only part of the movie where I was almost groaned. I was like, oh, we did this. Like, you guys are, like, I understand, like, in a vacuum, it would have been a delightful end credit sequence because the animation is fun and what happens in it is funny. Right. And I do like that they keep poking fun at Batman.
Like, yeah, that was good.
And they I feel like you say it's a great movie trapped in a terrible studio.
Yeah, I'm not quite done with that point, but go on.
Oh, okay.
I haven't gotten to the main thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Because again, the other thing, it's not, those are the little things with the film itself.
Mm-hmm.
What was the biggest bummer to me is that when at the end, spoilers, they get to Superman showing up and they don't show his face because they clearly don't even know who's playing Superman anymore.
Oh, I checked. It was another, it was supposed to be Henry Cavill, but he was busy with Mission Impossible. Like, Mission Impossible Fallout keeps boning the DC universe.
Yeah. The problem with this movie that, is that it hints at this, like, this is the first time that it's a case of DC doing everything backwards again, where I was watching Shazam and I was like, I can't wait to see like how Batman would have to deal with this, mm-hmm, or how Superman would. And then I realized, like, oh, they don't really have Batman or Superman anymore. Like, this isn't leading up into Justice League. They did Justice League first for some reason. Like, it's this, like, Shazam would have been great in Justice League if you replaced the Flash with him, because the Flash was a character that was like, he didn't have his own movie. They just throw him in Justice League. This felt like it should have happened early in the DC movies, but they didn't know what they were doing.
Nope,
like, it feels out of place. So like, now it's like this weird afterthought, and it should be getting me excited for more to come. And it's not, because I don't, like, they don't have Ben Affleck anymore, you know, like,
no,
who knows if they're going to make more of that shit. So that's what I mean, is that it was like DC almost fizzling out and being, or that specific universe, and then being like, oh, here's Shazam, by the way. And it's like, well, motherfucker, why didn't you start with Shazam? This was lovely. Yeah. And it has nowhere to go, like, in that universe.
I mean, they are doing a soft reboot.
Yeah.
They canceled a bunch of their future projects. They're going off just Wonder Woman and Aquaman for now.
Right. So, and where does Shazam fit in?
And then probably Shazam if this does well.
Which is a hilarious lineup.
Because they do. I mean,
they fucked you up get all Batman the, and get, Superman.
You get all the fun ones in there.
Yeah.
Like, but all the characters we liked, get them in there.
It's just, it feels like it was such a missed opportunity, because I would love to see Ben Affleck's Batman interact with Shazam.
Have to deal with Shazam, yeah.
Yeah, and I know I'm not going to get that. So, like, I wish...
Yeah.
Like, DC should have done a standalone Batman film. They should have done... If they had done Man of Steel already, they could have done a standalone Batman, basically their own Civil War, then Batman versus Superman, and then give us, like, Wonder Woman, Shazam, Aquaman, and then actually bring us to the Justice League, which is... everything Marvel did, but there's a reason they did it.
Yeah.
Because...
What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, because that's the appeal for me of things like this, the way to drum up that hype is, like, you watch Guardians of the Galaxy, and it was like, this is really fun, and then in their back of your mind, you're like, I can't fucking wait until they interact with the rest of the Avengers. That's a whole new level of fun. And I just didn't... It was frustrating to watch this, knowing that that's not quite what's going to happen.
Yeah, they will try again until this fucking thing works. They're going to keep doing this. I wasn't that bummed out by that aspect of it, because it is a bummer, but like, I'm fine. forgetting the previous movies and focusing on this. Like this, the way I liked the way that this movie did a lot of surprising things, and it did those surprising things surprisingly well, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And one of the things it does is it recasts the it can be the existing DC universe, or it can be a new universe. It doesn't matter. Like, we know that Batman and Superman and Aquaman exist right. in this universe, because he's wearing an Aquaman t-shirt at one point. And they recast it from the point of view of kids who are really into superheroes. Sort of like, this is the point. Like, it's done so...
They did a good job with that, because it almost has that Kick-Ass feel to it, where, like,
yeah.
they do a good job because, obviously, in this universe, superheroes aren't fictional.
Yeah, they're real.
So they just, but they realize that, like, oh, it would have the same fandom,
mm-hmm.
just like a little more intense, like,
right,
which is more intense as the fandom can get.
Yeah,
where
so,
like,
yeah,
yeah, that was. I appreciated that.
Yeah, it was done in a way that I, because it works both in that it's. Like I said, it's recasting the universe in a different way that still maintains what they did, but still allows them to change things if this movie does well, which I think it's going to. And also, it kind of reminds. It's like them reminding themselves, like, oh right, superheroes. I mean, you know, everybody's into them now, but like ostensibly they were created for children,
right.
And like kids are supposed to. Enjoy these things, and it's they put joy back into it.
They really did,
and they did it with a character who the kid from It, what's his name, Jack Dylan Grazer, is so fucking good in this movie, and he's such a good character.
Yeah,
this is this kid that loves superheroes. He's obsessed with Superman. Like he has a souvenir bullet that bounced off of Superman, and it's partially because he's a child, and it's also because he's a foster child, which this movie deals with that a lot.
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting. Yeah. And he's also crippled. So
right.
like he wants to be like, that's like, so it just, man, it was,
it was a really cool idea.
A lot of unexpected layers in this movie when I went into it.
Oh yeah. I don't think, I felt like it didn't quite lead, because in the end he just becomes a superhero.
I think just for that moment.
Is it just for that moment?
I think so. I don't think they're all going to stay super. It was funny to see him transform into Adam Brody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Was not expecting that.
See, I assume the end was that they're all sort of sitting at that in that lair. Like they say, we have a lair now and stuff with all the chairs. So I just kind of assume they stayed as superheroes. Which
I think
they kind of can't. Because then every problem in the DC universe would be solved very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, because they'd be like, just hurl those Shazams at it.
Yeah, I think he was. I think the power still has to come from him. Like,
right.
I think he still has to like give it to them, and that it only lasts.
So he can
for
turn
that.
Them into it, though.
Particular, yeah. No, I'm super into it. I loved seeing the whole family turn into Shazams, especially that little girl. Where she saves Santa and starts telling Santa what she wants.
Oh, that Santa was great.
The Santa was amazing.
So yeah, so he can do that to random people. Is that the idea? Which he'll probably do it.
I don't know. Like I'm not at all familiar with the Shazam character. It seemed like he flashed back to what the wizard told him, and it was something about like, I'm sharing my power with you. I'm sharing my heart with you, and you will do the same thing. So it's like, oh, these are the people that I'm, you know, sharing
right.
my heart with or whatever.
Right. Oh yeah. So, okay. So he can only do it basically to family. I guess they were, it's not a big problem. Unclear about what the rules were there. They do a few moments that I would say is jarring in a traditional film sense, but I didn't care, which, like, specifically Mark Strong's character, when we introduce the adult version, mm-hmm. it's a lot of like, wait, where is he? What is his occupation? What exactly is happening? And then they never really explain it. No. And then they just move on, and it was just like, oh, I guess that didn't matter.
I just assumed he had money from, like, we see his dad, John Glover, owns, like, a company. Yeah. So I assume he just has, like, money from the company. They just pay him to, like, go fuck off.
It felt like there was a missing scene there, though. Because the movie starts with the little boy, and he's in the car, and that was really cool.
That
and the
sequence
car accident.
Was... Can I say real quick, this movie has some scenes of shocking violence. Like,
well,
I was not expecting the couple of intense scenes that happen in this film.
I haven't looked this up, but I'm pretty sure it's the director of Annabelle. And the reason I say that, did you catch it?
No, is Annabelle in it?
She's in the pawn shop. It was one of the first, in the pawn shop, Annabelle's sitting there. And so I was like, oh, this must be the director of Annabelle, which is, I'm sure they're a fine director. You know, Annabelle doesn't stand out in any way.
Oh, it's it's the Lights Out guy.
Oh, it's the Lights Out guy.
Lights Out and Annabelle Creation is the one he made.
There it is. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense, because it was just, it felt like a horror director was making this because of
for a few
moments.
Scenes.
Yeah, and I appreciated that.
Yeah, the opening sequence with young Mark Strong and the car accident he's in with his family is a hell of a way to start your movie.
It really is, but it was a good way. They knew...
No, in a good way, yeah.
It was weird, because they focus on the villain a lot at first.
Well, it's the same, because he's the same as Billy Batson. Like, he's a kid that's
right.
not literally abandoned by his family, but emotionally abandoned by his family, and... He handles it differently. Yeah. They deal a lot with that. Like, I was like, wow, they're really going all out this idea of abandoned kids and neglected children.
Well, he's
what that does to you.
Yeah, he's like the dark timeline of what that would do.
Yeah.
To a person, whereas like our main character, I enjoyed. It was. It wasn't far-fetched. It was just like shocking that how much of a piece of shit his mom is.
I
and
know.
His dad is. And they did that so well, because when they first started introducing that, I was like, but what about that flashback? It was so happy. And then they show the flashback again from her perspective, and it's not happy.
And
you're just like,
ditches him. Oh,
oh,
and
you're like, oh, shit. Of course. That, like, he's seeing it through his fucking childhood memory.
Yeah. He's seeing it from his own perspective, and it's like, of course my mom must want to have me, and she just can't find me, and I gotta find her. And then he finally finds his mom, and she fucking sucks.
Yeah, that was real solid.
It is a brutal scene.
Yeah, there's a lot of parent issues in this movie. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know, parents who are bringing their kids to this, if their kids have any parent troubles, anything, they might be sensitive to this. This is like it's like the Disney movie thing where it's like every fucking parent has a target on their head in a Disney movie.
Yeah. This movie will deepen your children's resentment for you.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That should be on the poster.
I do like how when the wizard Shazam brings young Mark Strong into his temple, like, I'm going to see if you can pass the test of the pure-hearted. He fucking immediately fails the test. Yeah. Like, he's like, oh, I want the demon power.
Yeah.
And we understand why, though. Like, we get a whole scene of his shitty-ass dad, his shitty-ass brother just shitting all over him.
They're like, they were cartoonishly shitty.
They were cartoonishly shitty, yeah.
That I feel like that cave system was a bad system. I mean, as we see in the movie where he just like the guy barely wins, the old wizard, because like, don't put your big evil orb in the same room that you're recruiting people for pureness. And I know it's part of the test, but you got to figure out a better test for that, man.
Also, with the seven deadly sin monsters are also imprisoned in the same room.
Yeah.
It's like, man, separate that shit.
Yeah, seriously. Ease the kids into that. That's insane.
I mean, maybe put the seven sins on seven different continents.
Yeah, that's like if Army Recruitment Headquarters had a nuclear football.
Yeah.
Just on a desk, and they're like, don't touch the nuclear football.
Right, yeah, like part of it is they hand you a machine gun and a hand grenade, and they're like, let's see if you pass the test of the pure hearted.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, failed again. Another one failed.
No, I think I'm just going to go across the street and rob that liquor store.
Yeah, I do think it would have, it would have been interesting for them to explore the kind of that aspect, because it did feel like the good guy there, the wizard, he was fucking up. Like, there was an aspect of that, of him going around telling children they're not good enough.
Yes,
it's just like,
for sure.
Yeah, that's a dick move.
Yeah, they do let us know, and it is clear that he is getting very desperate.
Yes,
because I liked that.
Like, this kid was pretty much his. Like, it was just him. Like, here,
it was
you.
The last fucking.
He doesn't
one.
Even test him. Like, he's just like here. Oh, he can't test him at that point.
You're my last interview of the day. it's you or nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was some good shit.
Man, all the scenes of him, the strip club, the buying beer, the mugger sequence where she's macing the mugger.
Yeah, that was great. Or like in the I love how much of a sociopath his little friend is. He's like, well, we don't know if it's just your suit, it's bulletproof, or it's you. Shoot him in the face.
That was such a good sequence. I'm just... giving the robbers back their
he
guns.
He gives the guy his gun back, so he can shoot him in the face.
That's what it is.
Oh,
and
man.
It was, I really liked that aspect of this, is that it's like, it's Bull in a China shop.
Yeah.
Where, and I guess this is why I really wanted Ben Affleck Batman to show up in this and really wanted it to tie in. Because, like, it creates a very weird moral question if you're Batman and you're like, look, we have this fucking weapon of a person.
Yeah.
But they're a child. Mm-hmm. So we can't make a child soldier, right? Like, I really want that question.
We?
Yeah, I really want that whole aspect explored, and I don't know if we'll get that, because
I would like to see, because like the Ben Affleck played like shitty older Batman who's like so fucking done with everything.
Yeah, he's like burned through five Robins.
I really want to see him deal with this like superpowered child.
Yeah. That was another case, because I really liked the Ben Affleck Batman as a character. It's just, it's all the studio shit around it. And at this point, it's clear that it's the studio, because it's enough films where it's like, especially like Suicide Squad, where they take a director and then they're like, go nuts. And then like a month later, they're like, actually stop. We're going to micromanage this.
We're recutting everything. And it's a director, like it's David Ayer. So it's a director that's like good.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he's both written and directed good films.
And that's what this felt like too, is that this was a good movie that every now and then the studio would peek its head in and be like, "Hey, is everybody having fun?" And it'd be like, "Get out of here, DC. Get out." Like we're doing great. We're doing great without you.
I didn't detect a studio interference for the most part.
I think a lot of the looping in, because it's true that this could take place in any universe, but the tying it in and then the musical choices for me. And I feel like the action sequence at the end, like, that felt like a studio being like, well, we need them to fight in the sky.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we don't. Although that had one of my favorite jokes in it.
That joke was so fucking good. And it's directly making fun of Man of Steel.
Yeah, it is. That that was fucking fantastic. The joke, for people who don't know, is Mark Strong zips in the air and Shazam is in the air and they're over the city and Mark Strong starts monologuing and then they cut to Shazam's perspective and he can't fucking hear a word he's saying because they're like 50 feet away.
They're like a mile apart and it's like there's traffic. So all you can hear is like you can kind of hear a little bit of like mumbling, but
that's
it's mostly like
it
traffic
work.
Noises.
Yeah. As you can hear this little like... And he's just like, what?
It's like, I can't... I guess in Man of Steel, you can explain it by saying that, you know, Superman and Michael Shannon, General Zod, both have super hearing, but
still. I like to think there's like... In that movie, there's like a small town like 50 miles away from Metropolis, and they just hear this shit. They're like, ah, what the fuck is that?
Oh, man.
Fucking, I loved, and I didn't, I had a feeling there was going to be a reference in this movie, and I didn't think I was going to like it, and then I really liked their big reference.
Yeah,
they fight in the fucking toy store, and he accidentally steps on the goddamn piano. And
he
what did it was just Mark Strong running across the piano to fucking
just
beat his
tackles
ass.
Him through the glass.
I was like, dun, 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 dun. That was great.
There, yeah.
See, that I guess that's the action that I like. I wish. I think that
that's the only
final sequence should have been funnier or something.
I think they did what they could. I do think you're probably right in that they're like, we need some kind of action, because it struck me, you know, in the scene where he runs across town to find his mom is almost at the 2 hour mark. So, watching that scene unfold, I literally had this thought in the theater. I was like, there hasn't been much superhero action in this. This is like a pretty different style of movie, because the only other action sequence we had is just Mark Strong mercilessly beating the shit out of Shazam.
Yeah, which was delightful.
as he's trying to run away. It gets kind of disturbing after a minute because you have to keep remembering, like, oh, this is a kid.
Right, yeah.
And Mark Strong is just beating the fucking shit out of him.
Yeah, I think they could have still had action if they did it like the action in Aquaman, where it was very like playful. Mm-hmm. Like, I would have liked to see, like, a game. I would have liked to see something Shazam was trying to, like, if they were fighting around that Ferris wheel and they kept having to keep it up more, or like if they kept it almost simpler, and it just sort of devolved into, like, the Man of Steel style, just them flinging around, and it was not really.
Yeah.
There wasn't like a narrative to the action too. It just kept like I said, it kept cutting away. So it would just be like kind of noise.
It wasn't cataclysmic city destruction action though.
No, that was good.
To be clear.
Yeah.
Like
that
they
was good.
They fight pretty much in the air, and then he and Mark Strong are on a rooftop. Like, it's,
you know what? They would have had to change Mark Strong's character, but I would have loved to see this with Superman versus Zod if it was that style fight of two super people. But mm-hmm. neither of them want casualties. So it's just like that's intensity, but they keep having to like stop and get around civilians or like avoid catastrophes. Like that would have been a game, you know? That would have been something. Obviously, Mark Strong isn't that type of character.
No.
But they're just like, you could have that, two people fucking being Neo in the sky fighting, but there's got to be something to make it interesting and not make you hate the characters, the heroes. For doing
it. For sure.
And this just felt like it could have been easily either kind of cut short in the film, or it would have been a kind of a simple change of just someone sitting down and figuring that out. Like,
I see what you're saying.
But again, other than that, it was fantastic.
Yeah, the only other thing, and I think this is a symptom of just movies of this type. Like we mentioned, like the Mark Strong's dad is like cartoonishly shitty to him.
Yeah.
The two bullies.
Oh yeah.
Are fucking cartoon characters. Like,
oh my god, they hit the kid with their car.
They hit the crippled boy with their car, and then they get out and start beating him up, and nobody does anything.
Yes, they are attempted
stomping on a kid who
homicide.
Has, like, he's got like a not polio, but he's got one of those like crutches that, you know, you just with like the arm components. It's like, so it's not like he just sprained his ankle. Like, he has to forever use this cane, and they're fucking stomping this kid with a cane, and there's like 100 people watching this happen.
Yeah, that was shocking, because it's just, the car just zooms into the scene, a truck, and just fucking hits him.
It hits him.
It was one of those, like, oh my god, like, that should have been it. Like, that should have been, we need to call an ambulance, this kid's been hit by a car.
But they get out, and they're like, you're going to pay for the damage you did when I hit you with my car? And it's like, he's like a crippled fifth grader. Like, what?
He has internal bleeding. Like,
yeah, you guys are psychotic.
Yeah.
Like, and they start beating him up.
Yeah. Yeah, that... I would say that's kind of an irresponsible thing for a movie to do, because I don't mind cartoonish villains in a movie that's aimed at kids, right?
Sure.
But, like, they do that thing where they do where they introduce a bullying technique. I forget what they call it. Backpack or it's some sort of... where you hold their underwear in a wedgy position. You hold suitcase.
Yeah.
And like, if you're like an actual bully and you see a movie that has that, you might be like, oh, I might try that out someday. And so that scene is creating a situation where it's like, oh, this kid was slammed by a car and then gets right back up. And it's like, oh, like we can continue with the scene. And like, that felt like a dangerous thing to put in a movie aimed at kids. Because yeah, that kid would have, like if they just kept going, he would have like died of internal bleeding that night.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Generally I was okay with them. Like, it's true that the villains were all very simple.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't about them, I guess.
I appreciated in Mark Strong's case, his motivation is simple, but it's also like kind of real.
Yeah, and I guess the mom, the shitty mom, I was waiting, and I feel like it was maybe cut out of the script. Like when she was telling him what happened, I was waiting. I was like, just say drugs. Like it's drugs, right? Like they never really.
I think that's the implication.
Yeah, that she's like a junkie or something.
Yeah, I think that's the implication.
I wonder if they just didn't want to, you know, introduce that into this.
Probably not. They probably didn't want to directly say that.
But it's a sad but a neat message to talk about, where it's like kids look up to their parents, and then you get to a certain age, and if they weren't great and they had problems of their own, you start slowly realizing that. And that was his beautiful memory. And then him realizing like, oh, this person is just, it's another, you know, another like flawed human.
Yeah. And it does a couple of things that, man, it was just like surprisingly good.
It was like, really good.
In his memory, like they're playing like this balloon popping game, this dart game, and the mom's like not quite able to win him the prize he wants, but she gets him this compass keychain, and he drops it, and that's what he gets lost going to look for, and so he keeps his compass keychain with him, and when he finally finds his mom and starts talking to her, and we see the scene play again, the first thing we see is that she's kind of fucking nasty to him during the balloon popping game.
Yeah, it's all the same dialogue. That's what I liked. Yep. It's the same dialogue, just different inflection.
Yeah, delivered differently. And then when he gives her the compass keychain, she has no fucking idea what it is.
Yeah, I liked that. That was a nice touch.
So it's just like, this experience means everything to you, and it didn't mean the same thing to this other person,
right? Like, and that's what made it, yeah, because that's the thing, is if they introduce more like the drug aspect, or like you sort of like, I wouldn't say relate to the mom, because she's shitty,
she
but
sucks.
Her reasoning is she loses him, and then she saw him with the cops and decided he was better off. Mm-hmm. And like, that's why I guess I wish they had like pressed on the drugs, because if she was like a junkie or something,
well,
then I could almost see a junkie like being like, you know what, it's for the best, and walk away. But they make it more of her just like, I was young and didn't really want you. And
well, no, she
and that's
says
fine.
More. She Does says she? More than yeah. She says more than that. If you caught it, like, his dad bailed. Obviously, we learned that his dad's
right,
been in jail
yeah.
for like 10 years, and then she says that she had just gotten kicked out of her parents' house.
Right. So she's like about
she's
to be
got,
homeless.
Yeah, she's got nothing.
Yeah,
so like,
and
he doesn't remember any of this because he's so young.
I guess what I mean is, yeah, when she is explaining, you do sympathize with her to an extent, and it's like okay, she was in a tough spot, and then like the kicker is the compass. And her being like, I don't really have time right now.
She said it's not
this
a,
isn't
good
a good
time
for
me. Yeah. It's like,
and that's
oh,
when you're like,
fuck you.
Yeah. So it's the, I was young and dumb. And then it's like, but I am still like this
I'm
person.
Still an asshole. Yeah. Like,
and so they did a good job with that character, because they didn't make her, she wasn't cartoonishly evil.
No.
She was like, you could sort of see what her perspective was.
I've met
but
that
it wasn't
person.
Yeah, exactly,
like we've all met this person.
Yeah, she was realistic, and that was like that was good for a character that abandons their child, you know, like that's could have easily been a cartoonishly evil bad character.
Mm-hmm.
And they made her more of like just a fuck up, like just
yeah just a yeah someone, she said, well, but she said she had Billy when she was 17. So it was just like some dummy that had kids had a kid way too soon with some other idiot who's now in jail. And just like, yeah, it's a completely, man, it is not an area that I expected this film to explore.
No, I would love it. I hope there's sequels and I hope they'd actually explore more of that too. And explore all the family aspects of this. Cause it was a good theme to have around this, you know?
Yeah.
It was like complex, but like pretty wholesome because it's about family.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes to some fucking dark places, and the kids, yeah. All the kids were good. All the mm-hmm. actors,
yeah.
They did a good job.
Yeah.
They weren't insufferable. They were quite good.
Yeah. Yeah. And the little girl was like, they found like the cutest little girl.
Oh my God, they did. Yeah.
When that opening scene, when she gives him another hug and.
Oh yeah.
He's like, you don't have to keep hugging me. She's like, well, that's what do you do with big brothers? And he's like, oh, we're not. I mean, you don't have to keep hugging me. And we're also not really brother and sister. And it like fucking breaks her heart.
Yeah.
And it's like watching the movie, I was like, oh no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah.
They managed to make the big aspect of it too creepy. That he does go to a strip club and mm-hmm. presumably gets a lap dance.
Well, he spends something. He comes running out with a basket of chicken wings. He's like, we got to get more money. He's like, you're in there for 5 minutes.
I'm glad. Yeah. And he was just like, he said something like, they're very persuasive.
Yeah, they're very persuasive. And then when they teleport in there later and they all come out and Freddy hangs back a little bit longer and then he comes out, he's got glitter on him and he's like talking, it's like, yeah, I'll see you later, like,
yeah,
Cassidy or something.
He says something like, they're nice people.
Yeah. And the little girl's like, oh, I want some glitter, can I get some glitter? And yeah. The older sister's like, no, not from them.
They did a good job at addressing like those, like the buying beer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They did all that while still like making this a movie that like, you know, like a preteen can see, because they buy beer because of course they buy beer and then they immediately hate it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they buy and then they go back in and get a bunch of junk food and Slurpees and stuff.
Yeah. It was good. It was a good moral compromise.
It manages to successfully make the joke and then not also be harmful to children that watch it.
I think a lot. I feel like there must have been a lot of eyes on this script.
Oh, for sure.
People like, let's make sure this isn't like, like zero love interests. Like,
no.
Make sure none of this is creepy or weird or promoting something horribly illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exploring. It's just such a great concept, which is.
It's a really good concept.
A child's mind. And it's basically. I mean, it's kind of. What the upcoming Brightburn is also tackling in a darker way.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, a lot of these superhero things. This is just the added aspect of being an adult is delightful.
Yeah. It's very fun.
Yeah. Because he does learn he has great power and therefore great responsibility.
Indeed.
Yeah.
That's a good scene, too, when he wrecks the bus.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty good.
And then
Mark Strong comes floating in.
Oh yeah, yeah. Afterwards, I was talking about after he saves the bus, and he and Freddy kind of have an argument, and he's like, yeah,
"Oh
you,
yeah,
you turned into an asshole. Like you turned." He says you turned into a bully, and I was like, "Oh,
liked that. I'm glad the movie didn't spend too much time on it.
Yeah,
because
the
powers
it shows
going to
all.
His head aspect was like."
It didn't need to belabor it because film is a visual medium, so it shows you. That he's doing dumb ass things like getting people to pay him for selfies and stuff. You're like, he's kind of being an asshole.
Right.
Like, but they don't belabor it.
Which was great because, again, the other aspect of it, it's not just what if a kid has these powers. They start it with him very coincidentally asking him, would you fly or be invisible?
Mm-hmm.
And how everybody thinks about this. I liked it's the aspect of the everyman gets power suddenly, and what do you do with that?
Yeah,
and I like that he doesn't really want to fight like evil, Like, that's not really... Like, he just wants to charge people's phones, which I was delighted
with,
too.
Yeah, yeah. Blows that one guy's phone
up. And the guy's like, what the hell? I really liked... That was almost a character within the movie, and I would have loved to see more of it, is that the overall citizens of this world, being, since superheroes are like kind of a thing already, just being kind of exasperated with his presence at times. Like, no one really is that. Like, he can do all these things, but he's still kind of a jackass. Right. So everybody's just sort of like, oh, what the hell, man?
Yeah,
like the first thing they do is rob a lady.
Yes, they do. Unintentionally. Delightful. But yeah, that's yeah. Like, cause they intervene even though she was fine. Like, she was handling the mugging.
Yeah.
And he accidentally like pitches the mugger like 100 yards or something, and she like freaks out and gives them all the money in her wallet. It's like, yeah, no thanks, I don't want to be in some kind of weird video. Like,
yeah, and then they're just like, quick, oh sweet, we got money, and then they go buy beer.
Very quickly realizes that these are two clowns are basically just playing with a loaded gun. So she's like, I'm gonna get out of here.
That's a good way of putting it, playing with a loaded gun. That's really what I liked, is that they don't shy away from that aspect where it's like, none of this seems dangerous. and then he almost kills a busload of people for
sure
that
does.
Reason.
Mm.
There was
just shooting random lightning into the sky.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that this movie needed to explore with this premise. And they did a pretty, like, a lot of those things were things that I like could have watched an entire movie about.
Yeah, for sure.
But they managed to balance it all to make it all kind of addressed and entertaining.
I feel like whatever person or group of persons sat down to write this script, I feel like once they got going, they were, you know, kept realizing like, oh shit, this is a fucking golden premise. Like, we can do so much with this.
Yeah. I mean, just turning into adult alone is its own film, literally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there's stuff like Hancock where it's like, yeah, what if it's a superhero doesn't really give a shit?
Yeah, what if it's a dickhead?
Yeah, and then there's the, like, hiding things from the parents. There's just a lot of, it feels like they might have had a brainstorming session where they just sat there and said, what is all the things we can do with this premise?
Yeah, what are some dumb kid things that would happen?
Which is why stuff like not explaining who the hell Mark Strong was, like, in his company, why I didn't mind that, because it was like, who gives a shit? Like, I don't need a scene explaining that.
No. It's not necessary.
Yeah.
We know all we need to know about him.
Yeah, this is a superhero film where the best parts are when they're ignoring the things that most superhero films feel they're forced to do.
The best parts when there's nobody's fighting.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
No one's fighting. No one's, like, monologuing. There's no, like...
Yeah.
There's no, like, big, like, explanations. Mm-hmm. There's no, like...
No grand statements of purpose or morality.
Yeah, exactly. It's just... It's nice and simple. And they Mark Strong, all you need to know is, like, there's just a bunch of fucking demons in him, which they looked great, those demons.
Yeah.
There was some moments that were... One specific moment that was an unintentional laughter moment.
Yeah.
Which is when he beats up... When he throws his brother out the window.
Yes.
And he's got all those demons, and his father's there, and Mark Strong's like, you think you're powerful? This is what power looks like. And he's just surrounded by giant demons. And it's like, that's not what power looks like. That's ridiculous.
That was pretty. Like, that boardroom sequence is a great sequence.
Yeah.
That's another sequence where it's like, oh, this is... more intense than I was expecting.
Yeah, because the demons are like, they're almost Ghostbuster ghouls, but they're
kind of
gritty. They're like cartoonish, but in a way that's scary.
Yeah, they're still I think they err more on the side of monstrous than cartoonish. But
yeah, well, they kind of reminded me that, like, Slimer. We all love Slimer, but if you had Slimer in front of you, you would be horrified.
That's a Slimer scared me as a kid.
Yeah, it's mostly a mouth.
The scene where he slimes Venkman scared me.
Oh yeah, that's scary.
Noise he's making.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
It's like E.T.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of that where it's like it's grotesque, mm-hmm. but not as cartoony grotesque as Ghostbusters. I think the only difference is coloring. Because like the Ghostbusters ghosts were like bright red or green or like mm-hmm. for the
or
most
pink.
Part. Or pink, yeah. yeah. Except for that goddamn skeleton cab driver, which is just
a
straight
yeah.
up skeleton. But or yeah.
That dinosaur that walks through the park in Ghostbusters 2.
Oh yeah.
Blah.
No, oh yeah, that thing was fucking.
They do. You know what? They do look for it because Ghostbusters ghosts, I think, are kind of more gruesome than we tend to realize. Like you
I
watch
think
them,
so.
Like, oh, these ghosts look kind of intense. what was another? There was something else I wanted to bring up that I feel like was maybe related to the boardroom scene. I can't remember.
I don't know that scene.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that scene was pretty bitching.
That scene was, and Mark Strong has become like. If you're just like we just need a quick fast villain, we need a quick villain job. Grab Mark Strong, like
he kills it.
Yeah, I just watched the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And it's that thing of like,
what's his name, Blackwood in that?
Yeah, and I feel like is he the villain in more like kid hero movies, like kid? Because it's that thing as
well,
he can
he's
like
the
he
villain
must
in Kick-Ass, but that's an R-rated film,
right? I feel like he has that range of villain where like his resume must be like, yeah, you want to do a PG villain, you want to do mm-hmm. an R villain, I got them all. Yeah, I can be the same in every single one, but just like,
well, he's clearly having fun in this movie.
Yeah,
like I think he liked this role.
Any role where you get to bully children,
yeah,
must be a fucking blast. I mean, getting mm-hmm. to slam children up against walls and like threaten them.
Yep.
And like you get, you know, their parents are there and they're like giving the thumbs up and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's gotta be fun.
It's gotta be rewarding. Oh, that's true. Cause he does fucking bully the It Kid.
Yeah. I got to be
he's
bullied
got him
once.
Slammed up against yeah. the locker.
I was at my elementary school. They hired a guy dressed as a Power Ranger
mm-hmm.
to show up. And this was a cool idea. And in my child head, like this was probably cooler than it actually was.
Yeah.
But they had a bunch of guys walk around. It was like a fair, like mm-hmm. a school fair, and mm-hmm. bully kids. And then a Power Ranger showed up and would like save the day. And they
the
like
shit out of them.
Yeah, and they like approved it with like a select group of kids. Like, you're gonna be bullied today, and I got to be one of them kids getting bullied, which must have been real fucked up for the kids who didn't know that like there were just
yeah.
bully plans. That feels like a very 90s thing that wouldn't happen anymore. Because I like got like shoved over by an adult and I was having a blast. But
oh,
yeah.
Oh, man.
My point is that, yeah, you don't get to bully kids these days because it's mean.
It's a rare treat.
Yeah. And when the kid's like having fun with it too, like, yeah, Mark Strong, he's.
Yeah.
He gets to toss around some children.
I do like when they're facing off in the wizard's cave at the end when all the demons come out and Shazam is looking at him. He's like, Mister. I was like, I got to be honest, Mister. I really don't think these guys have your best interest.
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
The fact that he's calling him Mister.
It was such a good. It's what a hero would say in that moment.
Yeah.
But they. And like I could see the writers even struggling with like, all right, we want to get that moment, but mm-hmm. he's a kid, so like the way they word it is it's yeah. perfect because oh, he's man. Like legitimately just like concerned.
Yeah, he's like, I really don't think you should be listening to these guys.
Who plays adult Shazam?
Zachary Levi.
Okay, who is that? Who is
Chuck.
This man? Okay,
Chuck from the TV show Chuck.
This is not a big criticism. His performance was great, but it didn't feel like the same character.
No, it doesn't.
He like immediately becomes jokey. Like the kid is like kind of brooding.
The kid is
antisocial.
Very brooding. Yeah.
Yeah, they needed, again, this is another case of like, I feel like maybe there was a scene missing. They like mm-hmm. needed a slower transition into what that was. That said, I don't care because it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And you kind of you could kind of explain that by being, oh, this is just his, like when he turns into Shazam, that's just his id taking over because I can do anything.
Right,
like,
he's the mask. Yeah,
I am invincible.
Yeah, yeah, that that was fine.
Yeah, but I did notice that. Like, I was like, this doesn't seem like Billy. Like, Billy is this really somber kid.
Yeah.
Okay, one last thing I want to talk about is that fucking mid-credit sequence where
Mark Strong's
in jail, drawing his glyphs everywhere, trying to find his way back to the wizard's cave, and then radio voice starts speaking to him, and it's clearly a sinister bad guy voice telling him about all the realms he has yet to explore and like how deep magic runs and like how there's all sorts of evil out there, not just these seven deadly sin demons that he was using. And the reveal is that it's this caterpillar using a voice translator.
Yes.
And then the movie ends.
That was a hell of a thing. I had to look it up.
Yeah, I'm sure it's very significant to fans of the comic, but I was sitting there like, what the fuck is that?
That's a big, oh man, I forget the name. It's like Mega Mind, like...
That's definitely not what it's called. Is it Brainiac?
No, it's similar to that. Sorry everybody. I'm looking it up right now. It's a caterpillar in the comics.
Good.
Mr. Mind is the name. And cool. He's apparently a big villain in the comics, yeah.
Cool.
And it's a fucking caterpillar with a speaker on it. So they're just going for it.
10,000% here for that caterpillar.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's a caterpillar. Like I can't. Like we're not being cute. And if you're not a Shazam fan,
well, they set it up.
It is a caterpillar.
Yeah, it's in a previous scene. Yeah, he first goes to that Cave of Wonders.
You're right.
And there's a caterpillar in a cage, and it gets out.
Yeah, and then when Billy's there, it's not there anymore. You're right. I fucking forgot about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's hilarious that they set that up for the, like, two Shazam fans who are watching. You know,
because I was expecting, like, Superman to show up.
Yeah. It's great because... It works. It works for if you don't know what it is, but it is just a really they treat it like we were going to recognize it, mm-hmm. and yeah, I really enjoy the potential that has, and apparently yeah, I don't think the caterpillar. I mean, I haven't looked into it too much. I think the idea is it's just a genius caterpillar, and it's like it just like is it puppets like it's the puppeteer like.
Sure.
Of more sinister things. I think it's just always going to be a caterpillar.
I'm so here for this caterpillar.
Yeah.
All the magic
stuff. Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
The magic stuff in DC, the little bit I know about it, is pretty goddamn insane.
Yeah, and so. this is them trying to open... Again, this is why... God damn it, this is why they did it all so wrong.
They did. Because I mean, you do have to build to this movie, I think.
You do, and it's true that this I guess it's more that they fucked up the last film so much that I know that there's not going to be a continuation of that story because this is their Guardians of the Galaxy, or I guess it's very...
It's both,
their Spider-Man, too.
It's their Spider-Man, their Guardians, and a little bit of their Doctor Strange, too.
Yeah, if they had done a good job leading up into Justice League and we still thought that was going to go somewhere, this would be a very exciting addition.
Yeah, this movie, yeah, I think you mentioned it earlier, this movie did have me excited to be like, man, I hope Superman shows up. That would be cool. And he sort of does, only it's not Henry Cavill. You see him from a neck down, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, and it kind of reminded me that it was like, I hope these characters show up. And then it was like, oh, wait, these characters are kind of dead. Like, they're kind of... Like that's probably the last time we're gonna see that Superman suit, you know?
Maybe.
Like that might be the last appearance of that version of Superman. And that's what it felt like. It was like, it was like, it was like the ruins of this franchise. This is like the last remaining thing. Although Wonder Woman's coming out too.
Yeah.
They're sort of branching it out, but they're all like, they're never going to, I don't feel like we're ever going to get a movie with these people together. Like, I don't know.
We might.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
We'll see how well the other one, they're apparently still moving forward with a Flash movie. They're doing Wonder Woman 2 and they're doing an Aquaman 2.
Right.
So we'll see. And they're rebooting Suicide Squad.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe they'll get it together, but it is definitely going to be really like, yeah, maybe it's, you know what it is? It's Marvel's Incredible Hulk movie where that movie, when you go and watch all the Marvel movies, you leave that one out.
Yeah.
Because
bad.
It doesn't. Yeah. It also like narratively doesn't feel like it's the same universe. Like it feels like they weren't quite sure what they were doing yet.
They weren't.
It's sort of a continuation of the Ang Lee Hulk one, which is weird.
Yeah, it definitely is.
So it just doesn't fit anywhere. That's what I feel like is the problem with a lot of DC. The problem is that they have like three or four Hulk versions of Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, a lot of Hulks. A lot of Incredible Hulks out there.
Yeah, so like it's just sort of all broken into pieces right now. So it's like if I had to, like if they finally get their shit together and they get a good thing going,
yeah,
like it's going to be really hard to figure out where do you start watching this. Like what movies do you, because like I wouldn't recommend starting at Man of Steel, you know?
Yeah, probably not.
So it's just like there's a lot of false starts, and maybe this will get them going more. But man, they just gotta, DC just has to stay out of the decision making.
Yes.
Whoever is the person in charge there, if there's a person, a single person.
I think their film lead is Geoff Johns.
All right.
Now, and he was behind, he was in part of the decision-making process for the good DC movies like Wonder Woman and Aquaman, so hopefully that'll continue.
So they're just like, yeah, this guy.
Yeah, I mean, these are also based, like, he was a big part of the New 52 relaunch of the DC titles that happened a couple of years back now. And, like, the stories he wrote for these comics are the ones that are kind of being used, like the Aquaman movie is based largely on a series of comics that Geoff Johns wrote, and I think this Shazam is based on the New 52 as well. So just the further we get away from the Snyderverse, I think, you know, I don't hate Zack Snyder, but man, he was not the guy.
No, he was not the guy.
He was not the guy.
And they went all in on him.
They
and,
did him and yeah. Goyer.
Yeah, Goyer. I would almost blame Goyer more.
Those were not the guys.
Yeah, and they gotta figure it out. Yeah. It's weird.
I mean, it's great. Like this is the only.
It feels like they're improvising now,
Or they're getting kind of more. There's like Patty Jenkins, and James Wan both had individual unique styles and perspectives to put on their movie, and I liked this guy's movie even though I didn't like Lights Out.
Yeah.
This
I liked
pretty
the
good.
Lights Out short. It's just yeah.
Lights
the
Out
short's
really
dumb.
Good. The movie was bad.
Yeah, and I think the Animal Creation, I remember watching that, and it's a forgettable movie because it's about a fucking doll, but I remember thinking like, yeah, this isn't bad horror directing. I think
the problem with
Lights Out was that it had only one gimmick.
It's got the one thing, yeah. I heard Annabelle Creation was better than the first one, and it has, believe it or not, a positive Metacritic score,
yeah.
Which I am shocked by.
I mean, neither of them are that good. It's no Ouija 2, which is
it's no Ouija
good.
Origin of Evil.
Yeah,
it's fucking Mike Flanagan.
Yeah, what a weird fucking thing to happen there. I gotta watch that movie again.
It's good.
It is good. It's a good fucking horror movie.
It's a scary PG-13 horror movie. That doesn't happen often.
Yeah. But yeah, this, people should go see this. It's
definitely.
It's a very fun movie. It just, yeah, it was almost bittersweet in terms of
I don't know.
The universe. For me, at least.
Know.
there was just some moments, and like again the action, like I got a little, like I got to a point in the last like 15 minutes where I was like, yeah, this could end now. Like it was that, like it was that feeling of like, I've had a lot of fun. You can end movie. We're good. Like I don't need more. I don't need you to keep going. It's I'm done. You yeah. Like I'm all set.
And I'm full. Thank you.
Yeah. And it wasn't a fuck this movie thing. I guess, and that's probably why the credits are so groan-worthy. Or it was like the credits were like a cherry on top of that feeling of just like, you went too long, movie. Like doing a fucking Spider-Man.
Yeah, how dare you?
Fucking Ramones. A Ramones song. Like that is blatant. That was kind of shocking.
Yeah, that was the only part where I was like, oh, don't do this. I mean, and again, in a vacuum, that sequence is delightful.
You think they like went to a credits company and they're like, we're going to pay you to make credits for us. And then they like didn't pay them enough and they couldn't. And the credits company was like, oh, just get the alternate Spider-Man credits. They'll just throw those in.
I don't know, because that clearly wasn't a cheap credit sequence.
Yeah, I guess so. That's true.
Like it's pretty complicated.
That's a bummer. That's a bummer.
Yeah. It also employs stop motion.
Did it?
Yeah. Because it moves around Freddy's desk.
Oh, I couldn't tell if that was like CGI stop motion.
It didn't look like it, but I don't know.
I don't know. It was a lot of effort to copy the credits of Spider-Man.
To copy Spider-Man Homecoming's credits, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. Solid film.
Yeah.
Recommend.
Solid film.
Would recommend. Would watch would again. Recommend.
Yeah.
What?
I was going to say, bring some kids.
Bring your round parental resentment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or bring your foster children if you're a foster parent. This movie will make them appreciate you more.
That's true.
That's a sode. Let's get out of here. What do we got? What do we got? Do the things.
God, we got so much. We got so
things.
Much, Tom. We got a Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. You can, if you support us, you can get access to some exclusive podcasts like Fox Mulder is a Maniac and Tom and Jeff Watch Batman. They're great. They're wonderful podcasts.
They are great. I'm in both of them. And
yeah,
my opinion
dare
is
I say
not biased?
Yeah, they are the best podcasts ever.
Yes, of all times. We also have a store, tpublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed. And we Twitch, twitch.tv/gameplay_unemployed. And also I am on twitch.tv/TomRyman, all one word.
Yes.
Those are all the things. Thank you guys so much for listening and enjoy whatever it is you're doing. I don't know.
Go watch Shazam.
Yeah. Go watch Shazam.
Shazam.
Shazam.